Go ahead.
I motion that we come out of closed session where we discussed the reputation, character, or mental or physical health of an individual.
I second the motion.
All right, all those in favor, roll call vote.
Steve Ballard, aye.
Nick Boucher, aye.
Tyler DeHolst, aye.
Samantha Schupe.
Laura DeHolst, aye.
All right, motion passes. Closed session is done. All right, finance, Spencer.
All right. Does everyone have access to reports?
Yeah.
We're on track, but I have them here as well if you need one.
We're good right
now. She's got it memorized.
Yeah, she's already been through.
From last week.
So just to fill you in, so at this point, this is as of the end of February, so 66.7% of the way through the fiscal year. Overall, we're doing really good. You'll notice on the budget report, the top left of the financial summary, that our local revenue and our federal revenue shows in red. But the local revenue, we're not too far off as far as that goes. Federal funds, we have those in. We're hoping to get those, if not this allotment, but the next one.
They're approved last week, so they should make this allotment.
I hope so, yeah. So we should catch up on that pretty quick. Expenses, mostly yellow. The lone red ones down there are a lot of front-loaded expenses with your classroom supplies, your technology, furniture, those type of things. And so I'm not too concerned with where we're at there. We have an idea of the line items we're wanting to watch. They might be trending a little bit high, but there are other line items where there's potential savings in there. So overall, I think we're doing good. We have a goal this year of a 5% operating margin, and right now we're at 5.1%. So we are slightly above that goal, and I do think that there's additional savings worked in. So I think we're gonna be even a little bit higher than that when it's all said and done.
He has announced he wants it as 140 days cash on hand.
That's not what I announced. It's blown out of proportion.
It's 150.
That's right, yeah. Let's see.
Where do you think we'll be at the end of the year?
Once we get all the federal funds.
Maybe around 120?
Yeah, I would say right around there.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, and those are real numbers.
Absolutely, yeah. The 140, that's the median. That's where when S&P, Standard & Poor's, when they take a look at all the schools, that's where.
150. So the median would be.
Well, it's not mean. It's median. The median
would
be 140.
Thank you,
math teacher.
So, I mean, if you're looking at the grand scheme of things, yeah, that's a great place to be, but it's not. If you're not there, you're failing by any means at all. And so, we have a goal of 100. We're at 108, and like you mentioned, we're probably going to end up right around 120, especially when we get those federal funds in. We've stayed pretty consistent as far as our cash goes, and it's increased just slightly throughout the year, and I think that's going to, we'll see a pretty big jump once we do get those funds. I think the biggest takeaway is the enrollment. Typically, schools at the beginning of the year, they have a higher enrollment and just attrition happens and it slowly declines. But if you notice, we started out low and we've increased and held pretty steady around that 172 point. And so that's really going to help us next year when we budget. We're based off the legislative session, we're expecting a healthy increase for next year as far as funding goes. And you add in the growth factor and the WPU from this year, we're going to be sitting pretty well as far as next year's budget goes, which we've already started and made a pretty big jump into it already.
We'll just be over budget for substitute teachers.
Oh my gosh.
Could be. Yeah, we're already trending high there.
And today we just had one go to the hospital to stay at the hospital until the baby is born, so.
But we may have to rearrange some numbers.
Yeah, there will be some rearranging.
We cover up, I cover a lot with TAs, so there's the TAs are low.
You know, like the rest of his salary just moves.
That's true.
Yeah, there's definitely, it's all within salaries.
Yeah.
It'll work itself out. But any additional questions as far as that goes?
No.
Nope. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, RCD training approval.
This is the presentation for the fall, correct?
Yes.
So we have to pay for it now and get it approved. So essentially it's two consecutive days next August. So it will include all new teachers and then a refresher for returning teachers. Their total cost for presentation is $8,500 for 2 days and the travel is $1,000. I think two people are coming.
I think just one.
Just Eric?
I think just Eric.
Okay.
It was cheaper just to bring one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's right there. Scheduled presenter, Eric Clark. And so the total cost is $9,500 and we budgeted for it. This is our third year. But we're looking at the possibility of doing a train the trainers where we have people in-house get trained. We would have four of us get trained, so it would be myself and my three deans of students over discipline. But that's like, we're looking like $20,000 to $25,000 to do that. But then you're certified and you can train your own people.
And you're saving
$10,000. You've got it made up, right? So I may come at you with that in the summer.
But we had a question on how long it would last because some people's certifications don't last. It's only going to last. If we have to pay $20,000, it's only the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Right. Agreed. So we'll see. We're still waiting for feedback from them, correct? Because they might give us a discount because we've had 3 years of training and we've been essentially in RCD school for 3 years. So.
And teachers like it, it's going well?
Do you know what, I don't know if teachers are ever gonna like discipline systems and as a whole, because I think sometimes people look for a fix-it, like the silver bullet, like if I, and I still have some that operate in that system of I'm gonna tell you what to do and you need to, and it needs to be changed right now. But if anybody's ever had a child, and you don't tell them one time and it's fixed. And if you do, then something's wrong with your kiddo. Because it's a learning curve. Like, it's a growth curve. So imagine the class of, 25 to 28 that all are in that place. So discipline is really, it's a magic. So what I really noticed, big change, is that there's a common language we can talk about. And there's some accountability. The other piece is that it sets expectations for the whole site, for the whole building. So any adults can be supervisory, like can say, hey, are you being safe in this space right now? Because that's, in this space we're safe, in the cafeteria we're safe, in the hallways you're safe, in this classroom you're safe. So it all falls into those four, and that has been beneficial. Teachers shifting over and doing like one-on-one, give them five conversations, I think that is a journey. It's gonna take a lot of time. I have some that are amazing at it. Most of them are young, and have only been teaching for a few years, so this is their first discipline system and they roll with it. And I have others that are like, I want to yell at them or I want them to be your problem. I'm just going to remove them and you take care of them. So we're doing better as a whole with discipline, I think.
Is there any benefit to being RCD certified?
Just that we can train our own and we won't have to pay for an outside group.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you said that train the trainer and then it goes away in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, that's
like,
what we got to find out. We don't know.
Yeah, we're still looking at that research. So we may. So if you approve this, we're going to set up for the training, and then if we decide that it's more cost effective or that's what we want, we may switch, but we need to set the dates. And if we do that, we have to handle it.
And are you going to make it mandatory?
It probably won't be a $20,000 every 2 years, because I did Love and Logic years ago, and I paid the upfront cost. I got certified, and then every year I'd pay like $100 to maintain my certification and attend a refresher course, It wasn't like... It wasn't that big of a deal.
I'm just wondering, if someone takes this class, could they potentially take, have a RCD master and, and save $10,000 a year or not even do train
the
trainer
goal.
And, yeah.
That's the goal. But then these companies, you know, they don't want to lose that money.
Yeah.
So they want to keep it on the hook a little bit. So it's probably like a yearly renewal fee, but it's not going to be $20,000 every year. People, why would you even bother?
Yeah.
Is it going to be mandatory for
everyone? It is mandatory right now for the whole staff, yeah.
Okay.
Everybody's trained in it, and then we use it. And then the deans, Stephanie's really good at it. If the student is sent down and multiple times and you're seeing a pattern of they're not taking them through the five steps, she'll go back up and like work through with the teacher, like, what about support? What about expectation? How did you give benefit? How did you walk through these steps? So it holds that teacher accountable to start using that language. Casey will do it from time to time with sixth grade as well. So.
Okay.
So you're thinking we'll know something in the summer with trainer or?
This is just a request for
Okay.
this presentation in August.
Okay, cool. All right. Motion to approve or disapprove?
I motion to approve the RCD proposal for $9,500.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Move on to parking lot surfacing.
Debbie, do you want to talk about that one? Because do you know more about it? Casey was going to talk about it, and I know the cost, but.
The, just to save our parking lot so we don't have to redo it, we want to get it resurfaced and so we can prolong its life, and there's some cracks that need to be cleaned out and filled, and then once we resurface it, we'll have to repaint it. So we've got several bids there, and.
Apparently a map is pretty expensive to do, unless you're Seal Pro. I don't know if they know what they're getting into. Because it's like $3,000 for the other companies, and they're just like, oop, we'll do it.
So, they're all very similar. I don't know if there's one company
that he's leaning towards.
I don't know that we know any of the companies.
Yeah,
so
I would vote that we take the cheapest one at Seal Pro. I mean, all of them look the same to me.
Is there any difference between
them? No, they're all the same.
I guess it's just going to be quality.
Have we checked out their, you know, reviews or at our business bureau or anything?
We have not.
Is Casey around or no?
Yeah, he's covering first grade literacy night. Let me see if I can remember.
Can we put this on the back burner until we get a response from him so we know?
Mm-hmm. We can table it until the end of the meeting.
I have a quick question. Kind of has to do with this. Last year, we talked about redoing the flow of traffic in the parking lot. So is that something that we want to look at or address before we start painting lines?
I think it's been going. Didn't you say it was better this year and you were good with it?
This
year. So I think they have a better process. Yeah.
Now because the city is in a fight with all the crossing guards, apparently.
Oh.
So yeah, I was wondering what that was.
One of them quit and the other one got fired.
Are two people out
here? R2, but it's like across the city. Because Ogden City changed the paying structure. And so the only one that hasn't quit is that guy on 12th.
Oh, yeah.
And the one that's up on Mount Ogden and Harrison.
There's another guy on 1100 North that's still there. I see him every Tuesday.
The officer said that they're dropping like flies because they can't come to an agreement. And they don't make, they make like $8,000 a year or something. That's horrible. So the police don't know when that's going to end, but the police are getting $15 an hour, which is not what the...
I love having them out there.
I do too.
Because they direct traffic. They'll be like pointing that sign, whoa, you can turn right.
I think it's a good presence
the other
too.
Day
I mean,
you turn and the guy in the thing down here at 7, it was like 7:45. He went after him and I was like, oh, God, this is awesome. Like, so I've told all my staff in the weekly communication because they keep getting asked by parents. I have a lot of parents who are like, what's the deal with the police out here? And I'm like, I'm not mad.
I just thought they were volunteering.
I'm happy to have them.
And you see the police out there with the umbrella and they're chit-chatting with the kids. I think it's a really good...
It's fantastic.
But you know it's traffic.
I can't think the police are super
positive.
Happy about it. But
yeah.
It's good.
Okay.
All right,
we're
so
not paying for it, so that was good.
So we're going to table the vote.
For a minute, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to get
some
things.
Till we get some more information.
I'd just text him if he can text us back and see which one he would prefer. But I would guess they're all the same. They looked all the same. They all had the same verbiage in them.
It's what it looks like on paper, but
it's just...
Something like that, you gotta make sure it's reputable and quality.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it lasts.
All right. Let's see here. We'll move on to CEO report then.
CEO Pro has a BBB.
We have a lot.
A+.
So the March principles, I'm going to walk through. The YMCA needs us to sign an MOU, which is a memorandum of understanding for services provided. It's just the agreement that they can use our space in the summer to provide services for summer camp. So they're going to do that all summer, as well as the continuing on of YMCA after school. So if you would like to continue that agreement with them, we would like to continue that agreement with them. Well, I would like to. Casey's not thrilled about it because he wants to clean the building this summer, and it's hard to do with YMCA in the building. But it's a service for our parents that I think a lot of people are using. We have huge numbers in the summer. I think it's a good community outreach. So I need the signature is all. Nick's signature and my own in order to get the MOU together. School Land Trust. I added slides, if you'll open those, just so that we can talk through that. The Community Council, 2 or 3 years ago, transferred that over to OPPO, so they would be the Community Council. It was recommended by the state, and now I have to have your approval. So tonight I'm going to ask you, it made the agenda because I was already planning to talk to you about it, but I need your approval of the plan in order to upload it for the state by April 1st, or we have to have another meeting later next week. So I'd rather one of you would call for a vote, but let's talk about it first, and then I'll ask one of you to call for a vote. In these slides, see those slides that I uploaded? There's a recap of last year's spending. So the initial allotment last year was $116,000, and there was carryover. The total that we got to spend was $119,000 this year from trust lands, which is really good. So I broke it down for you how we spent it.
Sorry.
$45,500 is in salaries. We spent $48,500 in the ELA Wonders curriculum, and we give $15,000 to the libraries so that they can buy books to increase our circulation. There was an additional allotment in the middle of the year for $10,000, and we had put in our plan that we were using that for Wonders curriculum. So the next, that's our goal, that big, huge description, is the goal of increasing ELA, and that hasn't, we haven't measured that yet. That'll come up in the rise, and we'll see how we did. But the UGG goal, which is also, we said 3% growth on the UGG goal. Right now, we've calculated the UGG goal for first grade, second grade, and third grade because they're all being measured this year for accountability in the LIT plan. First grade is on track at 82% growth. The goal is 60. This year, it moved from 45 to 60. So first grade's at 82, and that's without the correlations and the confidence intervals. Second grade is at 37%. They are hurt. So they have built a whole plan of increase and growth to get through the end of the year. Their test does change in the middle of the year, and so they're kind of blaming it on that. But they know that. It happens every year. So, yeah.
But does that
Debbie
all
laughed
of it?
Because it was freezing second grade. Third grade is at 73%. So they're on track to do very well as well, especially with the confidence interval, they'll do well. So, we're looking like we'll meet that goal of 3%, and hopefully that'll translate over in the upper grades for the ELA on the rise. We'll see. This year is the next one. The allotment is $126,835. There is no carryover, and the total that we're going to spend is $126,000. So the proposed breakdown of money through the community plan right now is 48, we're going to give an increase to the salaries. There's three people on those salaries, a math coach, a TA in the library to help with circulation, and another TA. I can't remember who it is. It's Jerry Johnson, Cammie Perry, and one of the ones.
Charmaine, over here.
Yes, she over here. She's a math aide, yeah. So we're focusing on math. The libraries, I'm going to give them $15,000 in library circulation. And both libraries want to start a robotics type supplement or a math supplement and a math club in both buildings. So I'm going to give them another $10,000. I asked them to come up with math plans, and I would give them that additional money for those things. And then math curriculum camp this summer, the vertical math team, is going to build curriculum. So they're going to do a whole unit, and then they're going to launch it with their team. Their team is going to observe it. So the last thing I put on here was the swivel observation systems. It's a video system that can be set up in the room. So one teacher would teach that model lesson while being videoed, has a mic on the teacher, and then the swivel follows the teacher, and they run about $1,500. And then in their CTT or their PLC, they would sit down and watch that together and observe the lesson that they had built and tweak it and make adjustments and then reteach it, so that we're building a math curriculum based on the Engage New York that's already in place. So the community council is all about that. They said yes. And then any additional monies that we receive would go towards an additional swivel observation, which would give us three in the building, both buildings. So there is the goal. OPA's curriculum and instructional focus for 1920 will be math achievement. So we're looking at 3% in proficiency increase on the RISE examination. And if iReady stays free, then we can purchase all these other things without having to purchase iReady. So I added the iReady data as well, if you want to look at it. So will somebody call for a vote and approve or disapprove
motion
this
to
experience?
I'll make a motion to approve the 2019-2020 school land trust proposal.
I'll second that.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay. I'm in, sorry.
You got that written down for Debbie.
Not nay. I said yay the first time. I was thinking out loud.
Love. Okay.
Did you write that down?
I figured it would go
for Debbie.
Yeah, I did write it down. I wrote it down for myself because I have to enter it into the state system. She can listen to the tape. I don't know what just happened.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go if you want.
Oh, either way.
You want to hang?
Unless this is, entertaining.
It is.
You can leave anytime after your report. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
To your family.
Have a good night.
Are you okay?
Hey, you guys too.
This is my science room project for a state science fair tomorrow. Do you know anything about where it might
be? If it is, it'd be in the hallway right outside my office. Yeah. That's it. That's the only place that... It might be...
Under the stairs?
I looked under the stairs. That's where I thought it was.
Oh, shoot.
They're going to look upstairs.
So they are going to look upstairs?
Yeah. Somebody. School and trust passed you first.
First did it?
First did it. I seconded it.
And then Steve voted nay.
So who first did it?
Steve.
It was unanimous.
Thank you.
Steve voted yay and nay. It was very odd.
No, he voted aye and then
just silent and it just,
It's all right, Steve. I've had the impulse.
When I start talking, I'm going to fall asleep over here.
All right.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Did they tell you what they did?
They passed it.
Yes,
we got it.
Did they tell you what they did? Teacher survey for sponsorship. The sponsor committee asked me to put out a survey to teachers about what they would ask for in sponsorship. I'm still getting these. Like, I had them do, tell me what your name, the club or the class, and then would you want money or supplies or what would you want it to look like? And I've gotten a few.
Cool.
So I'll keep collecting and then we'll build that for the next experience. Spain trip. At this point right now, we are paid in full. We have only 12 students going. We have three adults from the school, myself, Rosa, and Miss Lopez from the other building. The counselor are going as chaperones, and then I paid for my husband to go. I bought Ryan Campbell a ticket so that I have a male. I know that's weird, and it sounds a little bit, sexist, but it'll make me feel better, and my husband will get to see Spain. So, that is coming up, May 9th to the 19th. Legislative outcomes, there have been a lot. Has anybody been tracking or watching the legislative at all? Mm-hmm. So it's in committee right now, so we just keep our fingers crossed that the stuff they passed maintains and holds. But it looks like there's gonna be a 4% increase to the WPU, which is helpful. There's going to be the committee actually asked that the local replacement fund, which affects public schools, we've only gotten 25% of that fund. So, you pay a certain amount to Weber School District or to wherever you live. It's in your assessment that you get every year, and you pay it in your escrow account typically. Mm-hmm. I pay $850 to the Ogden School District. And charter schools, they added a charter line last year, and it came in my assessment, it was like charter schools, $12. But now it's at like 25% of the money that goes to Ogden School District or to Weber or whatever, we turn in where our students are coming from, and then we get 25% of that. Well, for two years ago, it just like stopped dead. They just didn't pay it out. So the local replacement, they were trying to close a two-year gap in 1 year. So they gave us they gave $4 million to charter schools to close that gap. So we calculated that out at a pretty high amount. We're looking at like $100 to $200 a student. We're not sure where that's going to land yet. And then they opened what's called a TSSA account, which is like a flexible allocation, which the rough math has come back at $156 a student. So that's an additional $156,000 for us, a little bit more, because we have more than 1,000 students. But so it looks like there's going to be a good amount of money going to schools for next year. So our enrollment, I put down below, we're currently at 1071. The re-enroll has finished and we're at 1045 of people that are returning. And our lottery's at 155 and kindergarten's only filled to 68. So we finished filling kindergarten and we're gonna be at 1100 again. So that's good news.
So the backlog is a little...
The what?
The backlog or the lottery is...
It's kind of back.
Yeah.
Not so much in this building, but the first, second, third, and fourth is strong. And fifth and sixth are strong, stronger than they were this year. That's good.
Cool.
All right. Dibbles, I added the Dibbles report. What I added this time was a correlation report, because this is what the state's using to determine our growth, and our teachers should be looking at to see where they have slide, what students need work with. So,
is that the iReady?
No, it's the, I think it says MCLAS. Yeah, it's correlation, MOY. Is the name of that file?
Okay.
It should look like
got all the colors.
Pretty colors. Yeah. All right. So, I'll give a tutorial on how to read this. Sam and Laura have seen it in the academic committee. But essentially, what it means is, these students that are in the first column, they started the year with the BOY in the red. And now they've made these moves. So if it's still red, then they're still well below. If it's yellow, they've made a gain. If it's green, they've gone to proficient. And if it's blue, they've made well, very high, very proficient, right? So as you go across, like this column here is the yellow, this is the green, and this is the blue. So what you're looking for is slide. Is there anybody that was in a green or a blue color and then slid backwards? So the teachers, we've met with every single teacher that gives the Dibbles test and measures reading progress monitoring, and they've gone through and evaluated which students needed to address certain things and what they needed to address to attack the bubbles, is what we call them, so we can move those bubbles to a higher level. You have questions about, at the bottom it says the head count, it'll tell you how many students is affected in that column. Yeah, it can be confusing, but it's very helpful, honestly, for so, pulling data.
So basically, if I'm reading this right, I'm just looking at my daughter's class.
Which is whose?
Miss Passy.
Got it.
So I'm looking at just the needs or the well below benchmark. It said initially
reds.
10 students, the reds. So what we're seeing is these 10 students were, at the beginning of the year, they were all in red. Mm-hmm. And now there's five still in the red, but two have improved to benchmark above and then well
She's
above.
Moved 50% up.
Okay.
She's moved two students one step. She's moved three students to proficient.
Perfect. That's
right?
Kind of, that's
yeah,
just making
it.
Sure I understood
she's
that.
Killing it. She's a little upset about that one yellow in the third column because
right.
That student was green.
Went back.
And slid. So she'll attack that student with an intervention of some sort. Not really attack them. She's quite a nice lady. She'll attack that student's reading interventions with something to help them get back above
yeah.
proficient. And see, they get this report to identify, and then if they click on that student, they click on the six students piece up above. You don't get that because this is a PDF.
Yeah.
But on their report, they click that, and it pops up with those students, and it gives a composite score, and then it breaks down where the weaknesses are and where the strengths are, so that they can then go, oh, here's the weakness. It's fluency, it's days, it's the inability to blend letters together. So then the TAs and the teacher in small group will attack those things. And yes, I'm calling it a tech in all meetings. That's what it is.
Dupless has changed a lot over the years.
Yeah, and you know what? I thank you for sending me, let me go the literacy training, because I was a secondary teacher, of course, and I did not ever teach reading, and I have learned more about reading and reading comprehension in the last, I mean, I gave the Dibbles test this year, and it's, you learn so much, because you start to understand exactly what the kids are doing in that test.
Yeah.
Like, some of them are crawling all over the table and underneath. I had, like, a full-blown fight with this little kid who's nonverbal, but we didn't know he was nonverbal, and I had, like, a standoff with him for 30 minutes, like, well, I'll wait until you're ready to read to me, and then I find out later, like, he doesn't speak. It was a good time. So I learned a lot. But it's just been very, like, it's helped with my credibility with my teachers as well, because I've had the opportunity to go in and have real conversations about their data, which I've always loved data, science geek, but understanding the context of where the data's coming from has been very helpful. So thank you for that training. So that's Dibbles. If you want to look at that later on, you know, after dinner,
yeah.
Nice little break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rich.
I also added the diagnostics for math. Do you want to talk about the math? We'll leave it to the committee. Okay. All right. I think that is that all. Let me look at my list.
Trauma train.
Oh, yeah. We watched another movie on trauma for kids' ACEs scores, so that teachers can kind of do a measurement of trauma in childhood, so they kind of know where their students lie. And the trauma test is interesting. I took it, and I had teachers take it. I had some teachers with like a trauma score of 8, which is out of 10. And it's like adverse childhood occurrences. So like, were your parents divorced? Were you ever abused physically, sexually? Did it break all these breakdowns, right? Did you ever go without food? Were you ever left alone for long periods of time? Were you, and it was interesting to hear the teachers talking about their own background, but then to hear them identifying like kids that they have and that they know, you know, because a score over 4 is highly correlated to reduced educational proficiency, but also chemical changes in the brain. So it's really good, great training. State compliance. Mr. Campbell is supposed to be here tonight so that we complete our state compliance. I can't tell you that after his visit, he was asking us, he had our charter agreement, and he was asking us, do you do this? And Debbie and I are both like, no. Do you give the CRTs? No. No one does. The CRTs are gone. Do you use this curriculum that was written in 1970? No. So we are going to have to redo what's called Exhibit A, which is essentially a description of what our charter is doing to meet our mission. So he will send that to us after he finishes his evaluation. But he's not here. His child is sick tonight. So I think that's it. Spring break next week, 6 days. I'm ready. My teachers are very ready. Young Runners is in full swing, and soccer is going again. Girls soccer this time, and boys volleyball, which is a new season for us. They're killing it. They have a game right now. So.
Cool. All right. Any questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Academic?
Oh, you're telling me?
Yeah.
Sorry. Cool. It has the, that's fine. I scrolled the wrong thing. Okay, hold on. Okay. So, I'm gonna pass out now stuff as well. So here's the updated, there you go. No. Data dashboard. So the goals that are listed right here for goals for academics, the one in red we've already met. And like Amy mentioned, all these other ones were on track to meet all of those goals already, except for second grade. They're not making progress. Much of any progress, but Amy's been working really closely with them. So that's an update on where we're at. And
they don't want to conform to like data. They want to do it the way they want to do it, the way they've always done it.
Well, that's concerning.
I've never been accountable to it before. Sorry, he asked me. He mouthed.
Yeah, I asked why. Why is second grade not doing it? And I'll ask because my daughter's going into second grade next year, so yeah. I want to know why.
And this year, there are two teachers on that team that are killing it. And there's actually three. But they've never been accountable to the state before. This is the first year. And so they've kind of been able to, like, they give really good data that they collect, but it's not in line with the measurements that the state is doing. Make sense?
So, and academic.
They don't want to use the tools that we're providing to meet the state requirements. They want to use their own tools that they get off, like, teachers, pay teachers, or their, like, Pinterest accounts. They don't want to, they don't want to follow a diagnostic because they feel like it's taking away their creative piece. And that's not the case. Like, you do this, and you can use your creative piece to support, but you still need to be running this diagnostic.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of in a battle.
So just to remind you guys, when these goals were set, the state came back and wanted them to be more rigorous. So for us to already be on track to meet those is pretty huge already.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, well, then why? What's different? A couple things is the Wonders, Reading Wonders program, new this year, but people are using it and they have been really receptive to it. The other thing is Amy has been meeting with the CTT.
Mm-hmm.
So she's meeting with everyone every quarter, and that's really helped coaching wise, coaching accountability. So we're starting to see some increases there.
I think so. Yeah, it's been great. We'll see what they do. I did evaluations in third grade today, and it was great. I was in one room, I saw Wonders in action, doing partner reads. Kids were reading right out of the book, and then doing the activities at the end. And then I walked across the hall, and they were doing the exact same, they started the exact same activity. And then they went into small group rotation using Wonders. So it's given a foundation so that the teacher can be creative in the instruction and do small grouping and have this foundation, so I don't have to write the curriculum and do the instruction and manage the class. They can just worry about management and instruction using this curriculum. So it's been good.
So that's it.
Okay. You want to talk about math or roll into it?
Sure.
Either or. We're not doing very well at math.
We didn't last year in the summative. We're doing much better.
So this
those are the diagnostics from the beginning.
Yeah. On math, so just to remind you guys, this is the first year we're using iReady, which is kind of, just think doubles for math.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Just think doubles for math. So it's nice because they all took the diagnostic at the beginning of the year. They took the second testing in November. So what's nice is we're just getting like a brief snapshot, but the teachers can review their students and drill down to what interventions they need. And Amy's kind of already gone over this, how they're going to be paring down the Engage New York for each grade and to do like a set curriculum. They send out a couple newsletters encouraging parents to talk positively about math. We were wanting teachers, there was a state training, online training called My Math Mindset. It was an online program, and we only got about 10 to 13 teachers to complete it, and then the state didn't renew the program. So Cami Perry did a training with them after. So this is kind of showing a brief snapshot. I would like to do like a bigger data dive and actually show you guys next board meeting. Maybe we can put on a projector, like what we were looking at in board,
Math.
Do you want to pick a grade and then we can retract names from it? You know what I mean?
Well.
So we can show, because is that what you want to show is the like,
yeah.
How it gives them that first, here's where grade level
yeah.
you're
so
at.
Yeah, so like for an example, to kind of give you guys an idea. So like look at the seventh grade right here, okay? So what this really correlates to is there's 10 students that are at grade level, 37, that's the ones in yellow, that are a year behind, and then the red are the ones that, 43, that are 2 years or more behind. So what's interesting is like to actually see that and realize, like, there's some of the graders that we have that are at, like, fifth, fourth grade level.
Mm-hmm. It's concerning.
And seventh grade is our biggest, it's like another entry point.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I don't even know, 20, 30 kids that come from other schools into seventh grade. And you see, like, the numbers at 122 in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big class.
Yeah.
But it's populated from other places, so we're getting, yeah.
But the interventions, I mean,
so
I need to start a lot earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't, if you guys
want to. This tool is actually being, the other one is the elementary, mm-hmm. and it's yeah. being implemented across the board. Like I have kindergartners using it, first grade is using it, second grade is, and third grade are using it with Fidelity.
Here.
Every day, 15, 20 minutes.
Just messed up, because mm-hmm. probably junior high is sometimes
yeah,
six through
sixth
nine.
Yeah, grade on
yes.
both.
Because there might be some kids, there's three kids that are coming in at sixth grade level.
Oh, that's so they're coming in. Okay.
So they're taking the test, but they're coming in at sixth.
So there was a test at the beginning of the year and in November.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like November-ish mm-hmm. results. When's the next one?
We'll do one right before they start. They'll probably be in April. They're constantly doing, they're constantly on it, because what happens is the program identifies them, an individual plan for them.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. then every day, I watch seventh grade use it today. So the teacher, daily they get on, they enter their information, right? They log on, and then it takes them to where they are and starts filling holes for them to okay. try to get them up to speed. So everybody's doing a different thing on their computers. But today I watched it in seventh grade. Mr. Zundel used it and said, don't click this button this today, click the blue button, because we're all gonna do this assignment together. So everybody did an actual like math quiz, and then that set him up for their understanding of that concept. So now he can go back and assign them tasks inside his iReady where they are to help build where they are. So they don't get hit with the high work if they're low, so they get frustrated and give up.
Yeah.
Or they're high and they're getting the low work and they don't have any extension. So it's like, it's kind of like an individual.
Yeah.
It's catching where there are holes in math, because if you miss those holes,
right. So they
you know, way back in fourth grade, then you
you
can't build.
Yeah, really, by third grade, the foundation has to be set.
Will we have new data?
We should.
In April?
Later, we should.
Okay.
But we probably won't give the last diagnostic. We'll have the data that predicts, and we'll give the RISE test starting April 29th.
Well, the nice thing, too, is, like, yeah, we're talking hard numbers, but what we're not seeing is the progress that they have made, too. So
yeah.
that's
what
kind
we
of,
want to see.
That's
yeah.
also, I mean, that's,
well,
November's so, yeah,
a long
the
time.
Scores are low, but we also have to give attention to, there's making progress. We need to make greater gains. We
yeah.
need some heavier intervention, you know, some other things, but
at this point, proficiency is the goal, but growth is the bigger goal, because that will be,
yeah.
it'll be part of
yeah.
your grade, and we need growth.
Yeah.
Proficiency is, for all of our students, is a little bit,
mm-hmm.
it's lofty.
So this is kind of the first year of iReady, we're going to keep it around, and then can we track individual students?
But keep in mind, like, this is the,
I mean, not that we want
this
to,
is the third year we've used Engage New York, so all this is doing is taking the Engage New York data
okay.
and putting it into something you can track.
Working.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And
but
I
it's also a wake-up call to the teachers, too.
I
like
did
they
an
can
inventory with the, math
they're.
Vertical team to see what their fidelity level was, self-reported and not identified. I didn't know who was saying what, right? It was anonymous. And I asked him to tell me, like, your team, how much fidelity they use in Engage New York? What are the pitfalls? What do you like? Are you willing to work this summer to help build that curriculum? And all of them said, yeah, willing to work this summer. But the fidelity to the program was low. It was like 60-40, 40% using, 60%. I use it, but I'm not using it as prescribed. So we need to find a way to, we're going to lay down an hour 20, just like we do for reading. It's an hour and 20 for reading. It's an hour and 20 for math. You're going to do small group instruction. You're going to do a task orientation up front. We're going to build these lessons. And I'll get some blowback, but it's time. And we had some scores last year of 18% proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
On.
So just some feedback. Ogden High next year, no matter where you sit in math, you get math every single day, regardless if you're an honors kid or not. It's
mm-hmm.
you have math class every day now.
Makes
yeah.
sense.
It's not an AB schedule.
You have it every day. I mean, they have AV scheduled, but you're, like you get math every day, regardless.
So I know you want to do...
We also, our special ed groups made no growth in math last year, so we're also in this place of reworking the supplement and looking at hiring a special ed teacher that has math focus in this building to support our supplements. It'd probably be this building, sixth and fifth grade. It'd probably be those, like, 5 to 9. Because we, like, right now, Cammie is running one of the supplement classes with the teacher. They're co-teaching it, and they're making gains. They're doing really
She's
well.
She's really sharp.
Yeah, she loves math. She taught at Walquist for a few years, and then they moved to Idaho, and then she moved back to say she wanted to teach. She just wanted to be a TA.
Can we wait for new data to do a deep dive? Is that all right?
That's okay. My only concern is if the board is wanting to push a heavier goal, it's almost too late once the budget is set.
Well,
do you know what I'm saying? Cause yeah. They're doing, when are you doing budget? April, May? No, we're starting it already.
Well, we started it, but we won't approve it till June.
But we don't have to pay for Wonders, so any money that we had set aside for Wonders, we're looking at, like, all of our school interest is going to math. All of our, you know, some of our curriculum money is going towards math. We're doing a curriculum camp this summer where we're paying teachers stipends to come in and write. So we're already allotting pretty heavily to math. Because it's going to be the school-wide focus.
So if we don't have new data by by the April meeting, are you guys okay to...
Yeah.
Push that deep dive to May.
Yeah, that's okay.
I do want to do a deep dive, but I don't want to do it on 3 or 4 month old.
Well, yeah. But this is like ongoing, but yeah, we'll get a new.
Yeah. We'll have RISE data in May. Rough,
raw data. We'll have math, yeah.
When is the next diagnostic?
Well, I don't know. I don't think there will be another diagnostic.
Well, theoretically, it should be a lot higher, right?
Oh, so there's not going to be another big test on this?
Because the RISE... I'm not sure.
So then it doesn't matter if we do the test, if we look at it in April or May.
Description.
Because the reason why is that was just really, like, to be able to actually see that, it's really, you get a better idea where we're at. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, it's like, I don't know.
This is where we were.
I'm saying, like I understand how concerning this is, but I would like to see what the new data shows.
But they're not doing another test. They're just going to be doing rice.
We'll see.
Okay. They're just doing what?
Rice.
Okay.
The teachers have data on a daily basis.
Yeah, so it is updated.
At any time based on progression.
Like, yeah.
This kiddo was identified in this diagnostic at this point, and since that point, they've been prescribing daily. They've been daily 15 minutes, 20 minutes, depending on the prescription.
Is there any way to go through that without individuals or see as a group?
That's what she wants, is
okay.
We redacted everybody's names. So essentially what you're going to see is that same graph that you've got, but it's going to show you their first test and their second test. So
and a grade level
growth,
for each
whereas
kid.
Whereas that graph right there shows you the growth overall in the grade.
Yeah.
Can we see the growth overall in the grade?
I thought
next
this
month.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
The one that you're looking at.
So we will do that then.
Okay.
And that'll be up to date.
Do you want to pick a grade, or do you want to see all?
Probably seventh, right?
Let's do second. Like third, or fifth and eighth, or seventh and. Or
let's do 3, 5, 8.
Perfect. Thank you. I know that's work. Sorry.
Okay.
Give it to Cammie.
No, I just say to Beth, can you make me this report? Yes. She's like the instrumental in the I already.
All right.
She's special at math, so
we got a ton of policies to get through. Just quick update on development and marketing. We don't have the results back yet. Just life is kind of busy, and I don't want to pester my wife too hard when she's slammed with stuff. So I've pestered her enough, and I will make sure that we have that for next month, and then we'll meet. And then on sponsorship, we met, and she's running with the teachers, and then we're going to meet probably I don't know, maybe after spring break. It sounds like you're still getting results back. So we'll have to meet next week or the week after. And we just want to have a packet that they can take to places if they want to. And then there's also a place online where you can, sponsor anything you want or give money to the school. But we also want to, if people want to be recognized, we want to have a place where they could be recognized so they can, like, kind of check something if they want. Some people don't want to be recognized. And then also, like, immediate needs. So, like, putting, like, you know, this kid can go to Lagoon, but can't pay for it. So is there anyone who can pay for it? Because that happens all the time. And I think, you know, if a kid couldn't go and, you know, made the grades to do it, we would probably all jump in and pay for that kid to go, but we just don't know about it always. So that's kind of it. So that's where we're trying to go with that.
Back to the previous one, sorry. She's saying that there will be an end of year that is before the RISE test, and it's used as a predictor.
Okay. So when
so it'll probably be, we start RISE testing April 29th.
So after spring break, maybe a week after spring break, you might start doing this.
So will it be ready by then, or is that tight?
She said, that's on my schedule to set it tomorrow, and I'll email all teachers so they can start it.
Okay.
So we'll have those numbers for April meeting.
They'll probably wait till after the break.
Yeah.
Because it's a full moon right now, and a week before spring break.
So real quick, are we just going to table that till next month, the bids? Well, that's fine, right? Because it's not till summer.
Yeah, I think.
Because it's going to be out of summer.
He's got to Google the reviews.
I heard and Googled the reviews.
Oh, he's got to schedule it.
When I was closely paying attention.
Fill up, we won't get it in.
It looks like that Seal Pro has, like, the highest reviews. Like, there's 17.5 stars.
And GSD Research?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
The Consolidate one, I wouldn't recommend because it only has, like, 3.2 stars.
I'd say we just go with the Seal Pro, but...
If it's the lowest and got the most,
and everything, I did go through the quotes and everything was the same.
Group that came out and, like, walked him through the entire parking lot and were, like, pulling up rocks and showing him the. So I don't know. I can't remember which one it was.
Okay.
And he's.
Let's approve the amount of $21,000, then he can either talk the company down.
Do up to
that he wants, or go with Seal Pro.
Can we just do it up to 22? Can we do up to 23,000?
Yes.
Or is that okay?
And then he can chew.
Yes.
And he can work with whatever and just bring it down.
Cool.
Make a motion.
And can I have the $3,000 that's left over for whatever I want?
You can do a map in the middle of the.
Because that's how much it costs. To redo the paint for that crosswalk.
$3,000 map of the U.S. That's what I want.
I know. That's what anything remaining will go for.
It'll be good, yeah.
All right, I'll make a motion that we approve the maintenance of the parking lot up to $23,000.
I second the motion.
Right, anyone? All right. I'm sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Motion passes. All right. We'll move on to policies.
Can we approve the whole slate?
Nope.
No. One at a time. So the first one, adult education, basically we just need to have it on record that we don't need adult education, and we're not going to have adult education. So if you guys want to just talk about that, notice yourselves.
All right, motion to approve.
We need to.
Oh, sweet.
Discuss.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, discuss the first two.
We do not need adult education. Discuss. Right.
Work-based learning.
Same thing.
We don't have one.
Nor do we wish to develop one.
All right. Discuss. Audit policy.
Okay, I have to talk about this one.
Adult ed.
Sorry, no, the audit. So, sorry.
No, I'm fine.
I would prefer if there was a committee, even if it was the financial committee, because the reason why this came about was our management company was choosing our audit, who was their good friends,
and they never came on site.
They never came on site. We never got to. It was just like, your audit's done. You guys need to vote to approve that we chose this auditor. And I just don't think that's good practice.
And they didn't give us any feedback about systems that just, you know, or like what could be altered to improve your safety and your control. It was more like, yeah.
Well, and they were paying for the auditor. I mean, there was like a little. So that's kind of where that came from, is Like that, that's something the board is really should be watching who our auditor is and choosing that, not leaving that to our management company.
Yeah. I feel like the audit company that we have right now is, they're on it. They're annoying, but that's what their job is, right?
Right. So what do you want the purpose of, I mean, the function of the audit committee, to, what do you want them to do? Just choose the...
But generally, the audit has already started before we vote. Because they start contacting, they start contacting, well, even before then. Because remember, we talked about it in June, and they're like, we've already started, because they already started contacting the prior business.
It's all running together for me right now. They
contact me all year long, so I don't know when.
They start pulling reports in May. Because we brought it up in June the first time, and they said we've already started.
That should be on our approval calendar. Maybe we put it like April is when we select our auditing, our auditor
approve
for the next year.
And just discuss it, and even if you guys want to do it in finance and say this is our recommendations for choosing, fine. But as long as it's something that the board is monitoring.
We've had some conversation about it, yeah.
As long as it's something the board is monitoring every year, then.
What? Can we just get the report in the board meeting?
We do get the report.
So,
we get the draft.
But we have to choose the company that does it.
It's choosing the company that does it.
Okay.
And there's history.
Yeah.
I can't go into an open session. Why there is.
But you're never getting a report before, right?
No, we got reports.
You get a report.
The management company was choosing the auditor and paying for them.
I get it. And, just
and telling us that we weren't paying for it, but we were paying for it.
And working with them with.
Yeah, and there wasn't a physical, there wasn't a physical,
manipulating
physical
number
pull
percent,
of
yeah.
any receipts or a check of systems, or like, now they come and they do a random selection of free and reduced applications, and then they check all those applications to make sure that they're in line with what we've stated and what we're asking for reimbursement for. They do, like, our secretaries have to run the paces, right?
They do a real
file
audit.
Compliance, they do everything, and...
Yeah.
My first 3 years,
and you just don't want it to slip back to something.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's working now. I want to make sure that it's working for the board 5 years from now.
Yeah.
So the board just needs to sign off on
who's doing
it. It doesn't have to be like, so heavy. You can take it from the redundant.
Yeah, but that's all greened out. I mean, that's all struck out, so we need to.
Yeah, she said she was going to
review it.
So we need to table that.
And put it on the next one.
Okay. Can I table this?
No, that's
fine.
All these policies are required for Brett, correct?
This one isn't. This is, we just found it in the archives, and it wasn't in the current book. And so when I read it, I thought this is not what we do. So
I
what we do, but I
won't. So I motion that we table the audit policy.
Second the motion.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Substitute teacher policy.
Motion that we approve the substitute teacher policy.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Foreign exchange student.
I'm
All right, go ahead.
I motion that we approve the foreign exchange students and guests policy.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
I motion that we approve the procurement policy.
All those in.
Is this a renewal or is this a.
Policy procedure and template creation?
Yeah.
Hold on, that's new.
Oh, it is. Okay. I thought we already had one. I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Tyler,
any
you
opposed?
You first on that?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Because I was on the wrong one.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes.
Motion to approve the procurement policy.
We just did that one, didn't
we?
No, we
did that
one. We did the
policy.
Oh, the temp.
You said the wrong thing. It's all right.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Motion to approve the purchasing and disbursement policy.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
I motion to approve the constitutional freedoms policy.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No. Nope. I motion that we approve the student education plans policy.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, motion passes.
You keeping up, Debbie?
We should have had just one person make the motion every time, one person second.
It's typing in of what the motion is. It takes the longest. The rest is fast.
Just okay. Need to have like check boxes.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, last one.
A motion to approve the administration of medicine policy.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Is that it?
Awesome.
That's it. We made
business.
I have one thing.
Yes.
So close.
School board, or sorry, this is state lands. It's through the School Board of Education. But they have sent you these letters to the school. They're auditing our school land trust. So they just want to know if you hear about it and who approves it and if we're following the correct things. So if they call you, they may call you, they may email you, they may ask you. I don't know how it's going to, I think they kind of lay out some possibilities inside the letter. But essentially, it's just to let you know that they can contact anybody and ask them questions if they're listed on the school land trust page or if it's one of you.
All right.
Are we following the correct guidelines for the school land trust? We are. It's a pain in the rear, but it's good money, so.
All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Motion adjourned.
We have to do it. Meeting's over.
Meeting's over. The president called it.
Meeting's over. I said it. I said meeting's adjourned. You don't have to vote.
No, we don't.
Boom.
I'm leaving this room. I'm hoping it will spur a vacuum.
I drove through school land trust.